Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. Brought to you by Blue Sky Business Consulting. We discuss five questions in about 15 minutes.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast. We're glad you're joining us, and I'm very excited to welcome to the show today, Brickman Allen, and he is the CEO of EMC2 Group out of Mesa, Arizona. Brick, thank you so much for taking time to join me on the podcast. I very much appreciate you taking some of your very precious time to come and talk about leadership in teams. What would you like the audience to know about EMC2 Group?
You know, Sean, first off, thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I've listened to quite a few of them and just really spot on great information in each one. So I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
You know, EMC2 is just this amazing company that I'm so privileged to be a part of. We're an architecture firm, and I'm not an architect. But what we do is we focus on rural schools in the state of Arizona, and these schools struggle getting funding to just even make minor repairs. And so their buildings are just debilitating as these smaller towns are kind of shrinking down. And we actually help these smaller schools find grants that are put out by the state. And then we design and do construction administration to make sure the design is carried out perfectly on these schools so that these kids have a safe environment, clean environment, and they take pride back in their school again. So I love what I do. I'm not even an architect. I don't get to draw anything, which I hate, but I love the end result of what we can accomplish.
I love that idea. So it's kind of a step above just doing the architecture. You're helping them get the funding and everything to actually execute the project then. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really crucial for these schools because we'll show up to a little town and we'll say, hey, look, we can help you with this roof. And they're like, yeah, we don't have the money. We're like, guess what? We're going to help you get the money. It doesn't cost you anything. And then you just see their eyes light up like, okay, what's the catch? And once they figure out there's no catch, they're just like, this is amazing. Why have we not done this 20 years ago? So it's phenomenal. It's a good feel company that I get to be a part of.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Well, certainly wish you every success with that, especially since you're helping a lot of schools. I think that's great. Let's get started with our questions there. Our first question. Now, Brick, as you're running a business, inevitably there's some adjustments or pivots that sometimes need to be made. How can a business leader know when is the right time to pivot?
You know, that's a good question. I think that the key is you always have to be analyzing and looking for the pivot opportunity or the pivot need. Because most of the time when it comes that you have to pivot, it's too late. You're behind the eight ball. You're going to lose a lot of money trying to make the adjustments. We experienced that this last year where we lost a crucial procurement process, and it's only done every 5 years. And so it literally could have taken us out of being able to do anything. So that was a pivot point. You know, we had to make adjustments and we made it work. But other times it's just seeing, hey, look, there's an opportunity here. Let's pivot, small pivot. And then if this opportunity is what we think it is, then we'll do the larger pivot. So I think it's kind of both. You got to be responsive and proactive, but you've got to be constantly vigilant, looking for that opportunity or that need.
I like that, looking for the pivot opportunities. I like that a lot because you're right. There is that balance between being proactive and a little bit reactive as necessary. So that's great. All right. Question number two. If you would share with us one of your company's values and then share how does that value help you make decisions?
You know, one of my favorite core values that we've recently kind of restructured and we've looked at is we created this core value of we trust ourselves and our team. And this is, to me, is so crucial as a leadership individual, because when I give an assignment to somebody, if I'm constantly checking on them, then it deteriorates that trust, but it also deteriorates my ability to trust my own instinct that was the right person, right? So I have to trust my initial thought that this is the right person for this particular project, and then let them run with it and continue to trust them through the little failures that I'm coaching them through, right? We're constantly coaching, but we have to give them the trust and that opportunity to fail a little bit to see how they respond and react. And that's how that trust develops and grows. So to me, that's why it's our core principle is we have to trust that everybody around us is doing their best ability and that we have the right people doing the right thing.
That's interesting because you talk not only about trusting the people, but you also kind of inferred that you have to trust your own process, your own system, if you will, of trusting people, even through those little bumps and little failures and setbacks, whatever it is, but that you trust each other and I'm sure that there are times when you may be second guessing just a little bit, but you hold tight to that value. Nope, we're going to trust the people. We're going to trust the process. I love that. I think that's a great way and a great value, but I love how you've also used it as a proactive decision-making element or factor in there that, nope, we're going to trust. And that's how we're going to rely on that. I think that's fantastic. Well done.
Well, so Sean, the interesting thing about that is as entrepreneurs, most of us that are entrepreneurs, we want to just jump in and take care of it.
Right.
And we're killing the entrepreneur spirit in our employees, and we're killing that creativity in our employees if we do that. So we have to be patient, and we got to trust the process, like you said. So
absolutely. Yeah. Patience is a big one. Patience, when it comes to trust, there's some patience involved too. So
yeah.
Oh, that's great. Great add-on there. I appreciate that. All right. Question number three, obviously, as you're growing a company, you need to do some hiring and looking for some folks. What's one tip that you have for business owners or leaders when they're both finding and then hiring talent?
You know, I was taught this not too long ago by some great masterminds, and we got together and we had this conversation. And I think the key is one, you always got to be looking for the right people and look outside your industry. Sometimes I'm completely outside of the industry that I'm in, you know, going into architecture, I'm a businessman, but it works, right? So you got to be willing to look a little bit outside your industry, but more than anything, your interview process and your seeking process has to be centered on your core values. You can teach somebody processes. You can teach somebody how to get through analytical, you know, some people have an analytical mind, whatever. You can see that and adjust and teach. You can't teach the core values. They have to be instilled in somebody. So if you're interviewing and hiring to those core values and you know what they are, then it's going to help you find the right people that are going, you're going to eventually find a place for them, and they're going to help your company one way or another grow, sometimes in surprising ways.
Yeah, I could not agree more, because it is something that I try to, as often as I can without being overbearing, I try to emphasize, and I'd love to see more business leaders or hiring individuals, whatever role you play. If you're involved in the hiring, hire to culture, and to use your phrase, hire to values, and include that in the discussion. Obviously, they need to have a basic skill set to do the job, but man, you're absolutely right, Brick. If you don't have the right culture, if you don't have the right people and that value alignment, it's going to go sideways at some point, and sometimes that can get really sticky. So I love that you're doing that. Well, question number four, how do you identify and then develop strengths within your company?
You know, as your company gets bigger and bigger, it almost becomes a harder process, because the best way to identify it is to know the individual, right? You hit a certain point where you've got so many employees, you can't really get to know each individual and what they really can bring to the table. And so it goes back to that trust. It's going to your key individuals, your managers, your leadership, and saying, hey, this is the type of person we're looking for this project, or this is the type of person we're looking for this position. Who do you have and why? And then that helps you pinpoint those individuals that may work, and then get to know those individuals instead of spending, our time is precious. So spending all of our time just trying to get to know everybody, it may sound a little bit separated or not really in touch with your employees. But if you're really looking to identify those leaders, you've got to trust your leaders to help you identify the ones you don't see, then get to know them. And then it goes back to that core value of trust. Give them an opportunity to try and fail and push through that failure. You know, as long as it's not going to hurt the company, let them fail a little bit, let them struggle a little bit, but coach them along the way. So it's kind of hand in hand, where you've got to get to know the people, but sometimes we're so big, you just can't do that.
Right. Right. I like how you said to rely on other leaders to provide some insight, those that may know a little bit, but well done. I really appreciate your perspective on that. All right. Last question. This is kind of our fun question here. Time to get the baseball cap on. All right, Brick, tell us a story about baseball. I think you've got a fun one you were telling me about a little bit before we got started here. So
yeah, and I apologize to any of those baseball fans that are hardcore baseball, but it's more softball, right? Okay, so I do have three boys. I've coached all of them in baseball. I love baseball. Baseball is such a training ground for just leadership, for development, for self-esteem, and I have so many stories. But my favorite is in my early 20s, I had this horrific accident that I almost died, and, you know, basically was told I was going to be in the hospital for 6 months. And my favorite baseball memory is actually a softball memory, where about 3 months after the accident, I stepped onto a softball field with my two brothers and my dad. And my dad always had this dream that we would play together as a team. And we'd served missions for our churches. So none of my brothers and I, we hadn't been together for 6 years. And so it just so happens that for 6 years we hadn't been together. And then I'm coming off this injury and was able to step onto the field to play softball with them. And it was awesome. My dad was the pitcher. My brother was second base. My other brother was shortstop, and I was third base or first base. And so it was like the infield was the Allen boys. And I've got pictures of that day just all over my office because it's my favorite memory of all time.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that, because there's something, I mean, any sport or any activity really can do this. They can bring people together, and especially within a family, there's a bonding element there that takes place. But I love the fact, and you and I share the same religion, and so I understand very well about the mission for the church, and that it's a 2-year commitment. And so if you've got your brother's space, like it sounds like you were, somebody's missing, you know, somebody's going to be gone for a couple of years. And then, it's 6 years. That's a long time. And so to be able to get back together and then to have that accident that may have derailed the opportunity to get together, but you powered through it and you got through it and you were able to come and participate. I love that story. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share it.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, thank you again for jumping on the podcast with us today. How can people find you?
You can go to my website, brickmanallen.com. I'm on Instagram at TheRealBrickman. I currently have a book that's being published in early March of 2024 called The Bully Guard. And so you can actually Google that. And a little side note, Sean, that's kind of fun. If you go and Google Allen Family Feud Legend, you will see me on the Family Feud where I hit 190 points by myself in the Fast Money round.
Really?
So my family was on it for a total of 5 episodes, but I guess there's a plethora of ways you can find me. So
that's awesome. I love that. I think you're the first person that I've ever met. Well, I take that back. I know someone else that was on Family Feud, so you're the second one. But I love that. I have a little, I don't think this has ever become public, but I have kind of a little fascination with game shows. There's something about it that I like to play along. So that that gets me right here, Rick. I just love All right, Brick. This has been awesome. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast. And I wish everybody who is watching or listening a great day. And thank you so much for taking time to join us every week. Bye.
This is Sean Richards with the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. For more ideas, go to teamengagementpodcast.com. We also invite you to follow or subscribe to our podcast wherever you may be listening or watching. Is your business thriving? Go to tbs-score.com to find out. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.